we thought it was going to be easy. Create a bottle. It just seemed like, but the tolerances are crazy in water bottles. And like, you have to nail, like, keeping water in a bottle is really hard. Getting a lot of water out without squeezing, like a rigid vessel, is also really hard. I think we gave ourselves, we're like, we can do this in 6 months. 18 months later, we finally were ready to launch.
That was definitely, I mean, probably not the most ideal time to be starting a brand. We had to make decisions of what matters and what doesn't.
We didn't start Bevo to go make tons of money and like sell it. We started it because like we're product geeks and we like challenges, and it felt like a really fun thing to do, and we understood it, and like, you know, it gives us a really fun pastime. I think a lot of people, like, unfortunately, maybe don't get to connect their passion with work as much as we have, and I feel lucky. I feel lucky to be able to do that, and like that keeps it fun. That's why we're doing it. Hopefully what Bevo becomes, just like that feeling that can kind of like spread outward.
I think it's just like live in moderation and have fun. And so that's a really important piece of who Bevo is and how we try to live our lives as well.
This episode of the Kintsugi Podcast is brought to you by Pause, Breathe, Reflect, which can help you bring mindfulness to your everyday moments. Hey there, fellow like-hearted humans. It's Michael, and this is the Kintsugi Podcast. Well, this is a first. I've never done a triad interview, but today we have a beautiful story of connection. I sat down with the co-founders of Bevo, Karina Hamill and Robbie Ringer. They're partners. Yes, they are married. Parents, innovators, athletes, and like you, like-hearted humans putting a beautiful ripple into the world. They're revolutionizing the water bottle industry for cycling. Bevo is a metal water bottle in a sea of plastic water bottles. What Karina and Robbie are doing is cool for the sport, but even cooler as we connect with Mother Nature. What they're trying to do is make cycling healthier as well as the planet. Right now, you may be thinking, is this a story of connection about cycling? And it's not. You see, what they're doing is bringing attention to something that's pretty invisible to most cyclists. Speaking as a cyclist, we don't give much thought to our water bottles. We pay attention to a whole bunch of a whole bunch when it comes to our sport, but the water bottle is relatively invisible. And here's the thing. This is also the case in society. There's so much around us that we really don't see. And what Karina and Robbie have done with, in the spirit of mindfulness, they brought a beginner's eye to the water bottle. Something that every cyclist uses, but seldom see. They're changing the game. So this is not about cycling. This conversation about connection is about seeing things for the first time that have always been there, and reimagine what it can be. So if you're ready, settle in to a comfortable position. Take a full breath in and a slow breath out, and get to know Karina Hamill and Robbie Ringer. Karina, Robbie, good to see you.
Nice to see you too, Michael.
Yeah, good to see you.
This is a little bit of a first for me. Usually the conversations that we have on Kintsugi is one-on-one. And now I feel like we have a little great triad here, which is pretty awesome. I love it. So we're creating history as we speak. So I like to start off with this question before we sat down here. What's one good thing that's already happened for you today?
Ah, well, so for me, we have a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. So our daughter has been sick for like 6 weeks with a really bad cough. And so this morning I walked her to school. We have like this bushwhacking route through a ravine on the way to her elementary school. And she's been upset about doing that walk most days recently just because she's been not feeling well. And this morning she was very happy and we were playing with sticks and she was ready to go. So that was a nice walk with her.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And Robbie, how about for you?
Funny enough, so we've been lacking snow in Vermont and it was snowing this morning. And I took our son Nolan to his daycare and he's pumped about the snow. We were walking in and he's like asking if he gets to go play in it. So it just makes the morning better to have smiles and your kid giddy about snow and something that we're giddy about too. So,
yeah, I really miss the snow. Like I'm down here outside of New York City and it hasn't snowed in like 700 days. Like no snow. Crazy. I think we're expecting something this weekend, but gosh, we miss it.
Yeah.
We don't need a ton, but like, give us a little, give us some of the season, right? So that's cool. Whereabouts in Vermont are you guys? How far north?
We're in Richmond, which is about 15 minutes outside of Burlington. So we're home to Vivo and Cochrane Ski Area, which is a really fun family alpine ski area and a lot of trails and good gravel roads too.
Yeah, awesome. All right. So my wife and I, we love, when we talk about connection, we love couple origin stories.
We have a good one.
So how did you guys meet?
So I was out with some friends at a bar in Portland, Oregon for dinner. And I was just about going home and this guy walked into this bar and he was playing this like hook game where you like throw a string and clip it onto a hook. So he asked me to do it as I was walking out the door. So I did it once, left, and I was like kind of bummed that I didn't introduce myself. And then about, what was it, 3 days later?
2-3, yeah.
I was in Utah. So this was in Portland, Oregon, at the bar at where we lived. And then 2 or 3 days later, I was in Utah for the outdoor retailer show. And I was going to see my friend at Icebreaker, a merino wool company. And so I was walking up to her booth and there was this guy standing there. I was like, how do I know him? I know him. I know him. I was like walking up to this booth and this guy, and then it like clicked in my head. He was the one that was at the bar and that was Robbie. So it was kind of a fun, like, wow, I saw you in Portland 3 days ago and somehow we're both in Utah today.
I love that. It's like a little serendipity.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys were meant to be together. Oh, that's really cool. What a great story. I love that. Thanks for sharing. We're going to get into Bivo and what you guys do professionally, but how would you both describe each other if you took the job and put it off to the side?
We worked with a leadership coach for, I don't know, 3 years or so, Mark Konsberg. He's just like this amazing guy. And we laugh because it was really about like helping us build our brand and like our professional skills. But in the end, it sort of ended up as like marriage counseling.
It always comes back to that, Karina. Yeah. It's always, you think it's about business, but it's really about how you're living your life.
Totally. Yeah. So we really have gotten good at identifying each other's personalities and what each person needs. So, I mean, I guess like,
the funny thing is, actually, I think we went into that exercise with this guy, Mark, being like, we're basically like, must be the same personality. Like, that's why we like thrive together.
Yeah. And that's why like you got this business and you're in love and like we're the same.
We're the same. Turns out we're really different in how we process stuff, which is like what we learned. Like Karina's a jumper. I'm an analyzer. The way that like I talk through problems, like she sometimes is like, are you just using me as a sounding board again? I'm like, yep, that's exactly what I'm doing. And she's like, meanwhile, silent. I'm like, have you thought about it? Have you thought about it? Have you thought about it? And she's then like, here's my decision. So like, it turns out we like process, make decisions and like, I guess like get through life very differently. But I think like the thing that we realize is like we have similar like belief structure. We just make and process things differently. So it was a wild experience, but a good one.
That's cool. It's sort of like a yin and a yang, right? Okay, a little bit two different sides. So Karina, I'm right there with you. Like I do not go shopping. I buy stuff. Once I know it, okay, we're done here. Let's go. We're going to make it happen. And my wife, Robbie, is more like you, like, you know, a little, she's got a little Libra in her because she's a Libra, but a little to-ing and fro-ing and, you know, talking it out loud. And I won't say anything. And then she'll say, I'm really glad we had this talk. And I'm like, oh, I'm glad I could be of support. Like, I offer nothing to the conversation except a pure sounding board to our relationship at times. So I totally get where you guys are coming from. Well, let's get into it. Let's get into your story. Thanks for sharing a little bit of your background. I always like to take like an interesting way in besides just what we can find on LinkedIn and titles and jobs. But the thing that brought us together were your water bottles. And I can't remember how I found you guys first, but growing up, and I think I put this in the note that I sent to you, Karina, three doors down from me was another disruptor in the cycling industry. When I was a child, I was a teenager, and three doors down from me lived Georgina Terry, who she's the person, at least from my perspective, that really started to change the game for women's cycling in terms of building bikes built for women's geometry. And she was an engineer at Xerox in Rochester, New York, and started to do this side hustle in her basement. So she learned how to weld and she started building her bikes. And then eventually she, you know, hit it big and moved operations to Vermont, where you guys are at. And she's the one that showed me my very first copy of Velo News. Like, you know, it's like, you know, the rite of passage for most teenage boys is stealing their dad's Playboy. You know, back in the day, that's how old I am. But for me, it was like, Velo News.
Nice.
Where like all the races were in the back. I was like, this is a whole new world. So I love talking to other disruptors, especially in the cycling industry. And so I love your bottles. I preach your message, but let's get into it. First, I need to ask the name of the company. What does that mean? What's Bivo all about?
Yeah, so it's a combination of to live and to drink in Latin and Spanish. We have a good friend, Mark, who worked with us in we had a footwear design and development agency before Bivo. And so when we came up with the idea of Bivo, we started talking with Mark and he named it for us. And he was pretty proud of himself because a four-letter word is like a good thing in the branding world. And the fact that it started with a B was awesome. And then he designed the logo too, right, like within the first few days. So it all came together really quickly and it felt good right from the start.
Awesome. Well, for those that know cycling, they'll know this. But for those that don't know cycling, that happen to be listening, we rip through a lot of plastic bottles. And for the non-cyclists out there, they'll probably know the Tour de France. And I think the number of bottles that a typical Tour de France goes through, a water bottle, I think are like in the five figures, like tens of thousands of bottles.
Yeah.
And they don't all end up as souvenirs. They end up in the beautiful French countryside amongst the sunflowers, probably destroying the soil. Bring us to that moment where you're like, aha, I got this idea of changing something that hardly anyone really thinks about. Because it's been plastic bottles since the beginning of time. It's just most cyclists are fixated on trying to bring their weight down or aerodynamics, and no one's really spending a lot of time talking about their water bottles. So how did it come to pass that you had this big aha moment?
Yeah. Back when we were doing our footwear business, we had our first kid, our daughter, Svea, and she was one at the time. And She was very stubborn taking a bottle. She actually never took a bottle. She just skipped and went to sippy cups. But like in the process, I don't know if any other parents have gone through this, we owned every dang kid's infant milk bottle on the market. And like most of them, 99% of them are plastic. And at that point, like we were getting very conscious of like not wanting plastic in our life. And there's one, I think it's called the Life Factory. They're made out of glass. They're awesome. And that's like what she ended up jumping to. It's like sippy cup format. Anyways, I think this thing got like into our head of just like no plastic, no plastic. Like it was something that we were trying to deal with in our personal lives. And I say that because like we were out to ski one day and we had this like terrible experience of, anybody's a Nordic skier, the drink belts, you wear like these hip packs. Somehow they're more challenging to clean than a cycling bottle, like a traditional plastic cycling bottle, which I think is saying a lot because plastic cycling bottles get gross and moldy and are hard to clean and shouldn't go in the dishwasher. And we took a swig out of this thing and it was green as, I don't know.
It was like 15 years old.
15 years old.
Oh, and gross. Oh my gosh.
So gross. You're like out for this like beautiful ski together in snow, which makes us happy. And you take this swig and we're like, what? Like it tastes like moldy plastic. And like, I think having like that thought in our head about just going through the bottle situation with our daughter, Svea, And then having that was truly that like aha moment. Seriously, like everyone has a stainless bottle that they use like on their desk, in their backpack. Like the Hydro Flask and Yetis of the world already existed and everybody already probably owned four of them. We were like, every time we do sport, we give those up and we go back to these gross plastic things. So anyways, it was just, yeah, cliche light bulb moment. And we were both big endurance athletes and like sport and immediately jumped to the fact that like, wow. Everyone says a sport bottle is this, what we would call a plastic cycling bottle, and there wasn't a solution. So yeah, we jumped into it pretty quickly after that.
So here you are, you're like, aha, like you're out in the Nordic trails and you're like, this is something. But, you know, as an entrepreneur, like we come up with a lot of different ideas from time to time and we think, oh, this is something, but it's really not anything until other people agree with us. So how did you take it from that moment cross-country skiing to now and bring it into the cycling world? And again, as I mentioned, a cycling world that's concerned, I think, in an over-indexed way about weight. You know, all these people are so obsessed about the weight of their bike, but here we're having coffee and donut rides. It's a whole other topic about nutrition. But when did it really start to say, oh, wow, like we're going beyond just this idea that we have as a couple to, now, this is something here that can really start to ripple out into the world.
Our business before this was helping brands come up with product ideas and bringing them to market. So anywhere from like creative direction through to production. So we had a team in Portland of seven. We had some people working for us in China as well. And so we knew the whole process, like the whole product process, including that like creative direction side of it. I think both Robbie and I are good at listening to our gut, and we're also big cyclists ourselves, and a lot of our friends are big cyclists. So my background is in cross-country skiing, and there's a huge amount of overlap between cross-country skiers and cyclists. And my parents, actually, growing up, they had a ski course on their old dairy farm for me to train on. It was like a 2.5 kilometer loop that my dad would groom, and they had lights, and it was a pretty amazing place. But like we talked about earlier, we lost snow. And so they stopped grooming it. And after I left for college, they turned it into a cyclocross course. And it became a training facility for people like Jeremy Powers and Ellen Noble and Stephen Hyde, because there's this huge cyclocross network within the Western Mass community. So there was like all these really amazing connections in the cycling space that we already had without even like, we didn't seek out to start something in the cycling world. It just kind of, I felt like it kind of just fell in our laps in many ways. And so we were able to connect with a lot of cyclists, both like professional athletes, as well as people who ride every day and then people who commute. Because Portland, we started it when we were living in Portland, Oregon, and Portland's a huge cycling city. And so we were able to get focus groups going and do customer surveys and participate in like a cyclocross crusade as sponsors, right? Like before we even had a product. So we were able to talk to a lot of cyclists within, I don't know, like the first week of coming up with the idea. So we're very confident. And I would say you brought up weight. That was probably our biggest concern. Like we thought that was going to be the biggest barrier of entry for us. We entered the market right at the time that gravel was becoming super popular, and gravel cyclists care less about weight, which is awesome. But in the end, you know, our bottles are actually pretty lightweight, and we launched with a single wall bottle, and we went with a thinner gauge of metal simply because we were like trying to make it as light as possible. And now our insulated models are our top seller. But I think that was a perfect way for us to enter the market because it validated that it was a possibility to put metal on a bike.
It kind of blew up a myth too, I think, in some regard. Like everyone is so hyper-focused on weight, or I should say a group or segment of people in the cycling industry are very focused on it. But the reality is, one, it's really hard to perceive the weight difference we're talking about. So when we see people at events pick up our light 21-ounce Bivo 1, which is our single wall, they go, whoa, this is so light. And like you can't remember the difference to plastic. Even if you put, I've seen people put two in their hand and they're like, oh, I can't really tell. And then I think it all of a sudden becomes, well, I guess that doesn't matter, but taste does and drinking experience does. So like we shockingly like leaned into it from like, we got to like tell how light it is. And like, this is going to be the biggest hurdle. And then it just slowly became not something that we have to talk about. So it's a weird circle, I guess.
Yeah, no, it really is. Because my first thought was going to be, well, it's metal. This is going to be heavy. But when I first got my bottle, compared to my plastic bottles that I've gone through many in my cycling career, and I have many downstairs in the pain cave. It's like, yeah, I can't tell. And let's be honest, I got a whole bunch of other gear in my handlebar bag and a whole bunch of other stuff. It's like,
yeah,
it really does bust up that myth, Robbie, as you said. Now, from a technology perspective, if I remember correctly, there's a little NASA engineering in the nozzle or the spout, or I'm not sure what the technical term is, but where the water comes out for a layperson. So, and I see that as like the big innovation. I assume that was also a big obstacle to overcome too, as you were designing the bottle.
Totally. We made footwear for 10 years, you a lot longer, and we thought it was going to be easy. Create a bottle. It just seemed like, there's less parts. There's less like...
It's all molded.
There's not like...
This is going to be easy. Yeah.
But the tolerances are crazy in water bottles. And like you have to nail, like keeping water in a bottle is really hard. Getting a lot of water out without squeezing like a rigid vessel is also really hard. I think we gave ourselves, we're like, we can do this in 6 months. 18 months later, we finally were ready to launch. Turns out it was a lot harder to figure that out. And we knew too, like, we both come from sport backgrounds and like love skiing and biking. And like the last thing that was going to work was this bottle where you're like, oh, Michael, like, well, I got to like pull over and take a drink and like use two hands and then screw it. It's going to be like annoying. Like we knew we were like very focused on like health and sustainability, but like without performance, nobody'd ever adopt it in the bike world. Like you can't ask your friends to pull over. I mean, you know, unless you're pulling over for a donut and coffee and it's like already happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I'm not like for anybody about to throw shade that I'm an anti-donut coffee guy. I am not. I am pro coffee and donuts. I'm just asking for some perspective here. Like we can't debate weight and stop for a donut and think that's okay. Like the whole thing. You got to have a little balance and harmony. I think it's like super easy. So the water comes out and the great thing about it, it tastes like water and it doesn't taste like plastic. So what a great contribution you're making to really the cycling world, but just really endurance sports world, because you can use it in a whole bunch of different activities and competitions. Coming up, Karina, Robbie, and I talk about what it's like to be married and run a startup innovative company. All right, let's take a break. Take a full breath in and a slow releasing breath out. And relax the body as you soak up our conversation. Ah, I hope that felt good. Okay, now that we're a little bit more relaxed, can we be real? I think our morning routines, well, they've gotten a little out of control. You might not have time in the morning to meditate because you're busy doing other things like trying to get to work or getting the kids off to school. And this is where my app, Pause, Breathe, Reflect, comes in, because I built it for busy people with a whole bunch of shorter practices. So if you don't have 10 minutes in the morning to meditate, cool beans. You're a human after all. But I bet you have 5 times throughout the day when you have 2 minutes to practice and let go of stress and bring mindfulness to your everyday moments. So today, download Pause, Breathe, Reflect for free and begin to stress less, sleep better, and join a community of like-hearted humans rippling something worth rippling into the world. All right, let's go back to our conversation and celebrate the kintsugi within us all. As a couple, you know, we've already talked about, thanks to your business coach, Mark, that you guys have different personalities. So here you are, you're trying to start this company up. You got 2 different personalities as far as how you make decisions. You're raising 2 kids. how do you make it work? What does a day look like or a week look like for you guys?
Chaos.
Hey, welcome to the club, brother. It's like it's all chaos for all of us. It's just a different flavor depending on where you're coming from.
Yeah, actually, I had our second kid, Nolan, after we launched Bivvo. So we came up with the idea of Bivvo in 2019. We launched after COVID hit in 2020. We moved across the country from Portland to Massachusetts to live with my parents to have help with our daughter. Then we shut down our other footwear business and moved to Vermont and then had another kid, all while launching Bivvo. So that was like, it was a lot and it still is a lot.
During a pandemic too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and just for an extra level of complexity and difficulty, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So that was definitely, I mean, probably not the most ideal time to be starting a brand. But, you know, it is chaos constantly. And like, we've had to figure out what gives and what doesn't give. And I would say like, both of us were pretty obsessed with like being in really good shape all the time. And we're not anymore. And we're okay with that. You know, it's like, we can't exercise every single day and spend time with our children and run a business. And so we've gotten really good at letting things go. Exercise is actually, fortunately, slowly starting to come back into our lives more frequently, just as our kids get older and in school. But I think it's just like being okay with letting some of that go was really important for us in the beginning. It's like giving yourself permission. And it's not like we're just like sitting here doing nothing and sitting on our butts, but it's like, you know, we had to make decisions of what matters and what doesn't. And we really did pick our children and our business. So that's been kind of dictating our lives for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we go through seasons in life. And I remember like when our kids were younger, you know, there wasn't the time to ride or run the way I wanted to.
No.
You know, we had moved too. So we moved up to New Jersey from DC when our youngest was 7 months old. And then short time after we had our second child, our second daughter. And then just, yeah, you reprioritize things.
Yeah.
And so you're just in a season where the priorities are on your family and your business. And then sport comes in where it can come in. And in 10 years' time, there'll be another season.
Yep.
And, you know, I sit here today and my girls are now done with undergrad and we're starting this year our empty nest phase of life. So it all sort of, you know, changes just like the seasons change. You know, you'll have your moments. So when you have a chance to step back from the day to day and really dream about what Bivvo can be, what is it for you guys? What do you see in the world that Bivvo can help create?
We really love this community. So the cycling community and the endurance sport community. And we love Vermont. And I think the reason why we picked Vermont is because there's a strong emphasis on community. So we really want to be, I mean, like, of course, there's like financial goals and building our brand and making it a profitable business, which we're super close to doing.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, that's a given. Yeah, that's all given.
You know, we're in this old building in Richmond, Vermont, that was an underwear factory. And it would be so cool to have it as a place where, you know, you can come and grab a cup of coffee, check out Bivvo bottles, talk to our team and get recommendations for the trails to go run on or ride, which gravel roads to go ride on. So I would say being a really positive member of this community is a more, a bigger player, I guess, in that community is something that we talk about quite frequently.
That's cool.
I'd say, like, to reiterate, like, we didn't start Bivvo to go make tons of money and like sell it. We started because like we're product geeks and we like challenges and it felt like a really fun thing to do and we understood it. And like, you know, it gives us a really fun pastime in work. And like, I think a lot of people, like, unfortunately, maybe don't get to connect their passion with work as much as we have. And I feel lucky. I feel lucky to be able to do that. And like, that keeps it fun. And I think that's why we're doing hopefully what Bivvo becomes, just like that feeling that can kind of like spread outward, if you will.
Well, in my language, a beautiful ripple. I'm not sure if you know the term ikigai.
No.
Yeah. So we'll pull the thread from this Japanese themed podcast of Kintsugi, you know, which is, you know, when the pottery breaks, it's put back together with this lacquer and the lacquer is called Yurishi. And so it's dusted with gold usually. And that's why it's called the golden repair. And each piece of pottery breaks in its own way. And then when it comes back together, it leaves scar lines So in the whole spirit that our scars are beautiful and they're golden symbols of our strength and our resilience. And within that, there is something called wabi-sabi, which is different than wasabi. So wasabi is for your sushi. Wabi-sabi is about appreciating the weatheredness of life, like in Vermont, like that old barn that, you know, it has that graying effect, and just appreciating how we weather as we age. So I take it to a personal front, like the gray hairs or the wrinkles and the blemishes, because those are all indicators that you've lived a full life. So an ikigai is around, in essence, your reason to get up in the morning. So it's purpose. It's not about money per se, but it's about what are you called to do? What's your passion? What are you good at? What can provide a living to you? But that reason to get up in the morning. And when they've studied blue zones, which are areas of the world where people live to 100, having an ikigai, a reason to get up in the morning, is usually attributed to those blue zones. So that was a long way, Robbie, of me saying I loved your answer and yours too, Karina. What I hear from that is community and that connection piece. And it's not about we want to become uber famous. We want people to fall in love with fun and nature and moving their body and being outside and all that jazz. And I know fun is a big part of who you guys are. So I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that, like that fun component in your lives and the fun component in Bivo.
Yeah, one of our taglines is fuel more fun. And that is around actually more my background of growing up as a cross country ski racer. My dad was my coach, and then he coached a lot of different athletes. And one of them was Matt Whitcomb, who is now the US ski team coach. And all of our training was around having fun. Of course, we like had days where we like just crushed ourselves, but that was fun for us.
But that's fun. Yeah, that's like really that, like others don't understand that. But when the workout's done, that is like killer fun. It's like, yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that came out in our early branding exercises too is like the raw emotions that come out from exercise. And like when you do finish a really hard race or really hard workout, I talk a lot about like the VO2 max testing that we used to do. And it's hard. It like crushes your body, but then you're done and it's like kind of the coolest thing ever. And so like our definition of fun can, everybody's definition of fun can be different. But there was so much emphasis for in my childhood and even as a collegiate racer, just like focus on having fun and you're going to do well. And I believe there's a strong correlation with that in everything you do in life. If you love what you're doing, you're going to do it better. And so we wanted to make sure as a brand that we talk about that, because I think it doesn't get talked about enough. And there's too much emphasis on like looking at your watch and tracking everything and how's your sleep going? And, you know, what happens if you only have like one glass of wine a week or whatever? Like, I think it's just like live in moderation and have fun. And so that's a really important piece of who Bivo is and how we try to live our lives as well.
That is so cool. Yeah. To that, all the wearables. So in 2022, I rode my bike across the country. It's like a lifelong thing. And a lot of people told me I had to give up on the dream after my accident and recovery and had my left knee replaced back in 2021. So they're like, you got a total knee replacement. You've been through this. You should just be happy with what you got and like give up on this dream. And I was like, you have no idea who you're talking to. We're going to do it. And so I was wearing a wearable. I'm not going to mention the name during the trip. That would measure my sleep and stuff like that. And so I'm doing about like 95 miles a day. We did it in 41 days. My wife drove our RV. We had our two dogs with us. And so by the third day, each morning I woke up and I looked at my dashboard on my phone and it said, you need more recovery. You know, like you need to sleep more. And I was, by the fifth day, I threw it out the window because I was like, I'm riding across the country. I'm having fun regardless of what that dang thing happens to say. And hey, I'm on Strava too, like everyone else. And it's a great way to measure stuff. But every now and again, I think it's really just so healthy to like leave all the tech at home.
Yep.
And just go out and do your thing and just have it be more of a mindful experience, whether you're cross country skiing or running or riding, just get out into nature and just experience it without having to check how much power you're putting out at this moment in time or, you know, how many calories you're burning. Because we all know those calorie things are not accurate. You know, like, so yeah, so I love what you just said. So the one cool thing about your brand is how you give voice to artists through your collaborations. And I would love for you to share more about that, because it's a really great way here on Kintsugi and through my meditation app. I'm a big believer that one of the things that we all wake up and get to do is let folks know that they're heard and seen and loved or appreciated. And so I see that in your collabs as a way for people to hear and see and appreciate people that they may not come in contact with during their normal flow of life. So can you share more about the collabs and what those mean?
Yeah, for sure. So we wanted to do an artist series where we're a one woman within an industry of a lot of men. And so we really wanted to make sure that we represent people who aren't necessarily represented in the cycling space specifically. So we wanted to find female, non-binary, trans artists who could show off their art on our bottles who also had a connection with cycling. And so we set out to find different artists to tell their stories and to use our bottles as a canvas to express themselves. And so I think we've done maybe a series of five at this point, and we want to continue building that out. But it's been really great to meet these artists and help tell their stories and work together on creating something beautiful.
Oh, that's awesome. I sponsor through Pause, Breathe, Reflect. I'm a part of the sponsorship team of the largest female, femme, trans cycling racing team in New York City. There might be an opportunity to connect them with you guys and your artists. So it's a really cool team/club introducing people to cycling. Mm-hmm.
Great.
So they're brand new. Like, many of them are really experienced and they've done some really epic races, and some are completely brand new, going through that moment that we all go through when we first clip into our pedals and we hit our first stoplight, and then reality hits, or we hit the asphalt, more appropriately said. So it's a really cool team, and I think their energy and what you guys are putting out, there could be something really cool there. Who knows what it may be, but it could be something. All right, so we'll get you out on a couple of these questions. So part of Kintsugi, as I mentioned before, is Urishi, sort of that lacquer that connects people together. So beyond community, like, what do you think helps you guys stay connected and, you know, makes the work that you do so possible? Does anything come to mind?
It's probably going to relate back to community, my answer, but like, I think this, like, the business we did before, we had less opportunity to be out connecting to individuals because we're kind of behind the scenes here. And I think that's something behind the scenes because we worked for other brands, right? Like, creating product. And like, what I feel so fortunate about with Bivo, I can't tell you like how excited and giddy we get when we see one out in the wild still. I'm just like shocked, like in awe. And like, I want to talk to that person. It's such a opportunity to connect, I guess. Like, there's creating community that we do through, like, whether it's artist series or runs or like going to events that are like focused on like bigger groups. But I think like we've put ourselves in a position, I think intentionally too, to just, and we love it now, to have this way to connect. And whether it's through biking or through sport or the fact that you happen to have a Bevo, and then I feel like I can nudge you and say, hey, where'd you get that? And we can like somehow talk about your wife being from Portland, Oregon. I don't know. It's like a excuse or opportunity, or both, I guess.
I think, maybe both. And who cares how we label it, right? So I think seeing it out in the wild, and I'm glad you brought that up, Robbie, because I was going to ask you that question. Like, you have that group that's close to you that you run and ride and play with, but going somewhere else outside of, say, Vermont, and then seeing one in the wild must be such a cool experience. You're like, oh my God, there's one of our bottles. Like, I want to talk to this person, but I don't want to seem too weird or too pushy. And
we mostly still do. We're pretty shameless.
I don't know. Like, this sounds like maybe cliche, but like, we like doing it and making people happy and seeing them love our bottles. Like, I know that like that, it like that should be part of creating a great product, but there's something to be said for just like something we like doing. And I love seeing and hearing people and their experiences, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever. But like, it's an opportunity again to talk and learn and see how like what most people would say is just another water bottle, like maybe changed their life in some weird little way, or like there's then some story that comes out of it, like I just gave my dad one for Christmas, like because I love the flow or whatever the aspect is of it. So it's fun.
Well, I will say this so you guys don't have to say it. It's so much more than a water bottle. It looks like a water bottle, but it's so much more than a water bottle because you're helping people connect with nature and we change our relationship with plastic. And when we change our relationship with plastic, we change our relationship with Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is desperately wanting us to change our relationship with her. And it's also taking something that really we don't see too often because the water bottle is just part of our bike and we don't really pay any attention to it. And what you're doing is that you're bringing attention to something that gets lost. And so often in life, as a human, we feel we get lost and no one sees us. So it's an example of seeing something that may not be seen right now and taking a completely different perspective to it to say, oh, there's something here to this that can be enhanced. Like within it, we can change it for the better. And when you look at the bottle, you can say, okay, well, I can take something that I might just stare at all the time and not pay any attention to it. And if I give it a moment to think about it, I might see it and reimagine it in a different way. So to me, it's so much more than a bottle.
Thanks.
You are like changing how people see themselves and see each other. And, you know, maybe not an overt way, but I see there's like beautiful analogies and messages that can be pulled just from that one bottle.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So there's a show that was popular back in the day. I don't think it's on anymore, called Inside the Actor's Studio. And we'll get you out on this question. I'm not sure if you know the show.
Nope.
Nope.
All right. So it was hosted by a guy named James Lipton, who was based in New York City. And he would bring actors and actresses on. And they would talk about their craft. And it would be in front of an audience of students of acting. And at the end, he would ask a series of questions on these blue note cards, almost like rapid fire before rapid fire became rapid fire. And there's one question that I like that he would often ask or always ask that I've manipulated in my own way. So it goes like this. So let's assume that heaven exists. And when you get to heaven, you get to meet the people who've come before you, your elders and your ancestors. So you get reunited or reconnected with them. When you get reconnected with them, what do you hope they'll say when they see you?
In some way, I feel like if they're going to heaven, like the story has not stopped, but their like understanding of it has, the comprehension of it has stopped. And it's got to be so interesting to like connect the dots to the next family member to like understand the last 30, 40, 50, 80, 100 years or something. Like, I feel like it'd be something around, I don't know, simple as like, tell me your story, because all of a sudden, like, your novel's bigger. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Maybe they can see and witness and hear and like watch our story unfold as they're in heaven. But if not, like, my first question would be like, connect the dots. Tell me what happened.
I like that. Thanks, Robbie. Karina, do you have something?
It's a tough one. Yeah, I mean, I guess like kind of like putting on the sustainability side of what we're after. I think a lot about like even just sending our kids to school, like packing their lunches and how much waste there is in this world and how like we buy our food and how we preserve it. I think it'd be kind of cool to talk about like what, I mean, I know we can go back and look at history, but like how do they live their everyday lives without wasting so much? I think that's something that like we've completely forgotten how to do. And it's a really hard thing to tackle. So it'd be kind of cool to pick their brain about that.
That'd be cool. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing. I know it's a tough question. It's like one, it's like, oh, we just got to the last question and that's a doozy. But to your point, Karina, yeah, we have gotten to a place where we just buy cheap stuff. And when it breaks, we just throw it away. And there's something going back to that whole concept of wabi-sabi, like appreciating something that's weathered. You know, whether it's an old sweatshirt or what have you, or, you know, a piece of whatever that may not work perfectly all the time, but
yeah,
there's a story to it. There's a character to it, or we can learn how to fix it so we don't keep on throwing everything away. We can't keep throwing our old plastic water bottles over the fence into someone else's landfill and expect that Mother Earth is going to see that as a kind gesture in any way. So what you guys are doing, you're putting this beautiful ripple into the world that I think, well, actually I know makes the planet better. So thank you for doing that. So one thing I do on Fridays is I do a loving kindness meditation. So part of loving kindness is this phrases where I share, may you feel heard, may you feel seen, may you feel loved. So for people to love more of you so they can hear and see you, where would you like them to go to check you out more?
I think we tell our best stories on our blog. I think that gives us more insight into who we are as an entire team. So check out our blog on our website, drinkbibbo.com, the Thursday blog. And then our emails as well are connected to those blogs. So we try to tell stories. We don't try to sell you bottles. It's more about like telling, you know, stories of why fun is important or why performance is important, why we love watching the Tour de Ski, you know, different things that we're just, you know, that we love as a team here. So I think that's a really great place to check out who we are.
Very cool. Well, I'll bring your bottles with me to Kansas in May for Unbound XL.
Awesome. I think we'll be there too, actually. So that would be awesome to meet.
Oh, wow. Really? Oh, that's cool. Yeah, no, I'm doing Unbound XL. So this is
awesome.
Good for you.
Every year around the anniversary date of my accident, I try to do something big. XL is pretty big.
Pretty big. Yeah.
So we're going to give it a whirl and hopefully there's no rain. If there's rain, there's rain.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I think the goal of that one is, right? Like you want the mud.
Maybe a little bit of mud, but like the 2023 version was like a little bit too much mud. So, hey, I'm ready to get dirty and have some fun. So, but yeah. So, well, if you're there, I will be there and we'll get to meet each other in person. But thanks for coming on and sharing your story. And I will do my best to put some native bottles in the wild. So when you come down here in New York, you'll see some of your bottles.
Cool.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
I love what Karina and Robbie are doing. It's not easy. The world's filled with plastic water bottles, but they keep showing up and they're changing the game and demonstrating what it means to have a spirit of kintsugi. By asking the question, what could be possible? It's so cool. I encourage you to check them out. I'll put their links to their store and their story in the show notes. But first, as you might know, here on the Kintsugi podcast, we'd like to drop in for a short meditation, just 2 minutes long, that's based on this week's story of connection. This week, we'll practice the concept of beginner's mind. Seeing something like you're seeing it for the very first time. So when you're ready, settle into a comfortable position. You can keep your eyes open or you can close them, knowing that you're always at choice here. And we'll drop in. We'll begin with a few generous inhales and slow releasing exhales. Breathing in the wisdom and story that Karina and Robbie shared. Taking something that is generally invisible and allowing it to be seen. As you come into the natural rhythm of your breath, I invite you to bring to mind something that may be happening in your life. Maybe it's something you see in the space around you, or maybe it's something you're working on. And And as you bring this to mind, see if you can shift your perspective. Try seeing it like you're seeing it for the very first time. A slight shift in perspective. Whatever it may be. And as you look at it through the lens of a beginner's mind, notice what begins to bubble up for you. There may be a different thought in the mind. You might feel something in the body. How can you take something that you're so focused on, or maybe see all the time, but never see it, and see it like you're seeing it for the very first time? All right. Nice job. When you're ready, you can begin to flutter your eyes open and wiggle those beautiful fingers and toes. And if you like, you may wish to journal about this a little bit further or spend an extra moment in reflection. And now I want to come back to Karina and Robbie. Thank you for coming on to the Kintsugi podcast and sharing your story. Both of you are making a difference in the world. The world needs your energy and ripple. So continue rippling something worth rippling into it.